In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Just want you to know that God still is on his throne. He hears and answers prayer, that no matter what's going to happen, he's still sovereign. God is still sovereign. As long as your faith is intact, everything's going to turn out all right. That's what the woman of faith used to say. Her name is Catherine Kuhlman. God is still on his throne, and he hears and answers prayer, your prayer. And if your faith is intact, everything's going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. Romans 8:28, that everything turns out to the good for those who love God. I'm looking at Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord opens my ear that I may hear. This is the suffering servant. And I have not rebelled. Morning by morning he opens my ear, and I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me. We see Jesus being scourged. My cheeks to those who plucked my beard. We see Jesus being hurt that way. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. This is a perfect picture of what Jesus did as he was going to the cross. The Lord God is my help. Let me just tell you this. The help of people is in vain. We need the help of God. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Why? Because the Lord is my help. The Lord is my help. He is the one that brings good out of evil as we love him and as we surrender to him. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. My flint. Remember, Jesus' face was toward Jerusalem, and he is near who upholds my right. Yes. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. In other words, the Lord is on my side, and I'm a winner. The Lord is on my side, and I'm a winner, not because of me, but because of Jesus. Who disputes my right? Let that man confront me. See, the Lord is my help. Who will prove me wrong? I tell you, the Lord is your help. You must depend upon him. The Lord is my help. I must depend upon him, not upon human beings. Human beings come and go. They will always disappoint us. The Lord is my help. The help of man is in vain. The Lord is your help. You must know that today, that he who gave you a new life. He is your help. Then we're looking at James, this reading, James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself does not have works is dead. Faith that does not have works is dead. Indeed, someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you with works. And I'm telling you, we are saved by grace alone. I said this yesterday. Grace producing faith and grace producing good works. This is just how the Christian lives. The scripture says they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, good works should proceed from those who have faith, but we are not saved by good works. We are saved by grace alone that yields faith and that yields good works. That's very important. Sola gratia, grace alone. Without grace, we have nothing have absolutely nothing. Go and see War Room. It's all about grace. It's all about grace, yes, and it's about discipleship. Go and see War Room. It's worth seeing. It's all about grace, how God changes things by His grace as people yield their hearts to Him. Has your heart been yielded to Jesus today? Do you know that you are saved by grace? Grace is a gift, an unmerited gift. You are saved by grace. We sing it all the time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. So what good is it, brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? The scripture says, faith without works is dead. D-E-A-D. And it's as real as the book of Ephesians, and it's as real as the book of James. God's word doesn't contradict itself. Let's look on the Gospel of Mark, Mark 8:27. And Jesus said to his disciples as they set out for the village of Caesarea Philippi, along the way he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said in reply, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Well, this is a very important question. When I taught school so many years back, I said, this is the most important question that you're ever going to answer. Who do you say Jesus is? Like, let me ask you, who do you say he is? I tell you, he's my life. I tell you, he's my shelter. I tell you, he's my Lord. I tell you, he's my Savior. I tell you, he's my everything. Who do you say Jesus is today? And what does Peter say? Peter said to him in reply, you are the Messiah. And he warned them not to tell anyone about him. Why? Because the great work was going to be upon the cross. He did not want people to know he was the Messiah because the great work was going to be done on the cross. Tell nobody. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. As this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as man does. Let me tell you this, my friends. Jesus told them, after he just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in another place, it says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And just remember, Peter now says to Jesus, you can't go to the cross. You can't die. You know, let's set up a tent, and let's see people come and get healed. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are talking like men talk. You are not talking like God talks. Jesus had to go to the cross to save us from our sins. Jesus had to go to the cross. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, whoever wishes to follow after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Have you lost your life for Jesus? Is he your life? Have you lost your life for Jesus? Is he your life? Oh, I'm even talking to myself now, not only to you. Is he my life? Do I trust him? Do I give him my all? Do I wait on him? It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. My Lord, who can do the things that Jesus does? Only Jesus. He is the one that can change the heart. He is the one that can take a cold heart and inflame it with His glory. He is the one that can take someone who's miserable and transform him by the blood that He shed on the cross. Oh, who is Jesus? Oh, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is my Good Shepherd. Jesus is the King. Hallelujah. 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 Now I'm looking at the Sermon on the Mount again, and I told you that the Sermon on the Mount is more about the man on the mount, that's his name is Jesus, than the Sermon on the Mount. The man on the mount is all important, and what comes out of the man's heart are these words. You have heard that it was said by them of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, we got to get away from those dirty pictures on the internet. You've got to get away from them. You've got to ask God to give you help. Get on your knees each day. Ask God that you would not go to the internet and look at those dirty pictures. It's an offense to God. It's an offense to God, and it's offense to you too. And you know about these dirty pictures? If you look at dirty pictures, the next time you want to have more dirty pictures, even worse than the last time. And you'll get addicted to dirty pictures. And I'm telling you, that addiction will cause you to be miserable. I remember saying to somebody very, very clearly that if the person continued to look at these things, his ministry would die. It would wither. God would not let it blossom. Yes, that's real. That's real. People commit adultery all the time when they're looking at these dirty pictures. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from thee. Jesus is not talking about pulling out your eyes. He's saying, you know, the importance of your heart being right is much more important than having two eyes. And then he said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it off from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of your members should perish rather than your whole body be thrown into hell. Jesus speaks about hell. No one speaks about hell anymore. Everybody's saints. We've got all the saints in the church. I tell you, we need to preach repentance. We need to preach that we are loved by Jesus Christ and that He wants to change our life from the inside out. That anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? That anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that you enter into heaven with your part of your body, then your whole body be cast into hell. Jesus isn't saying cut off your arms. He's saying, you know, it's so important that you do the right thing, that you're not lusting, that you're not taking that doesn't belong to you, because you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. Jesus is saying, I have come to save you from hell. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died on the cross to save us from hell. And hell is a real experience. It is a real experience. I remember a woman telling me that she died and went to hell. And I remember this so clearly. And she spoke about being cursed at, and from within, the demons were cursing her and telling her, you fool, you wasted your life. And she said, oh God, if you send me back, I will seek to serve you. And you know what? He sent him back. He sent the woman back, and she serves the Lord today by the grace of the living God. by the grace of the living God. It has been said that whoever shall put away his wife, that's in divorce, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saying for the cause of fornication, that would be the only reason, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced shall commit adultery. This is something real. The indissolubility of marriage. It is very important that people know that marriage is indissoluble. It cannot be broken. Now, we have in the church ways to get out of that. If people were abused, if people were psychologically unready to have a commitment, you know, we have that in the church. But if a person who is divorced marries somebody else, they're committing adultery. That's adultery. But let me also tell you this. Divorced people that don't have a relationship with a man or a woman, divorced people can go to Holy Communion as long as they go to confession and confess their sins. Don't confess the sin of divorce. Divorce is not, God hates divorce. But sometimes people need to divorce themselves because they are being tormented by the other person. They are being hit by the other person. They are being spit at by the other person. I tell you that it is so important about marriage. If I were the devil, what I would want to break up would be marriages. You know why? To break up marriages is to break up the building blocks of the country, of the world. And I'm telling you so often that marriage is not something that people hold on to. They last until it feels good. And when it stops feeling good, they say, you know what, I'm looking for another person. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time that you shall not swear by itself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, it is the footstool of the Lord, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair of your head white or black. But let your communication be yes, yes, no, no. For whatever is more than this comes from evil, comes from the devil. Let your communication with people be yes or no. Not, well, you know, I'm going to stand in the middle. I really don't know. Let your communication be yes, yes. Like if someone says, do you follow Jesus? Well, you know, I go to church. Let your communication be yes, yes, or no, no. The rest comes from the devil. The rest comes from the devil, that gray part. You know, Jesus Christ has come to save us. Jesus Christ has come to deliver us. Jesus Christ has come to make us new people. Don't be on the fence. Yes, but no, no. It's either yes or no. Do you love the Lord? It's either yes or no. Do you want to love the Lord? It's either yes or no. Do you want to serve people? It's either yes or no. Do you want to help bring up these children? It's either yes or no. It's either yes or no. It comes from God, this yes or no. But God can change the no into the yes. But if we're on the fence, well, you know, God says that comes from the devil. The Word of God says in verse 38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him and let him smite you on your left cheek. If any man will sue you at law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And whoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him that asks of thee. From him who would borrow of thee, turn not away. I'm going to tell you, I've got people that have borrowed from me, and I know some of them have given me back and will give me back, but I have other people that will never give it back to you. They promise, you know, people come into the rectory and say, you know, I'm hungry and I need $20. And I'll say, why? Because I have no money and I'll get it back to you. And if I'm going to give them the money, I say, no, you're not going to give it back to me. Just take the $20 and do what you need to do. Because you're not going to give it back to me. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So, give to him that asks of thee, and give to him that borrows from thee. You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Why? Because God makes his sun shine on the good as well as the evil. God sends rain on the good and on the evil. That you may be children of your Father. How do we prove that we're children of our Father? That we love our enemies. That we bless those people who curse us. That we do good to those people who hate us. That we pray for them despitefully who use us and persecute us. That you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what credit is that to you? Do not even publicans do the same? But if you salute your brethren only, what do you ask more of others? Do not even the publicans do that? Be ye perfect or perfected, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, God himself loves his enemies. How do I know that? He sent Jesus to die for his enemies. God himself loves his enemies. What does he want these enemies to become? He wants these enemies to become children of God. How does he do that? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. By his Spirit. By his Spirit. Jesus' teaching on almsgiving. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. This is money. Therefore, when you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give alms, not if you give alms, but when you give alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thine alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. I tell you, it's very important. Catholics don't talk about money, but money is very important to give to the church and give to ministries, because you cannot get along without the money. I've been telling people that we just paid our July bills, but now we need money to pay our August bills. We're always 1 month behind. So please, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, listen to what the Lord says. You know, give alms, give money. And if this broadcast blesses you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or if you want to give online, inseason.net, and go to the place where you can give online. I'm very grateful for the people who have responded. I received yesterday a gift of $500 from a prisoner. It just touched my heart. He's in jail, and he sent me 500 and a couple of extra dollars. And this is the guy's in jail, and he did this. God bless him. It humbled me, you know, that he would do a thing like that. That he doesn't even know me. The only thing he does is he probably hear me on the radio. But he sent over $500 yesterday. My Lord, bless him, God. Bless him good in Jesus' name. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.